Hello, CJLO. My name's Cadence Weapon, and you're listening to 1690 AM Radio in Montreal.
Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. Montreal's municipal election is coming up on November 2nd. While issues of housing and active transportation are front of mind, local environmentalist groups are disappointed to see climate justice slipping from the focus during the election campaign. Climate Justice Montreal, an environmental and social justice activist group in the city, say more discussions about municipal issues should lead back or connect to climate issues. Here's one of their organizers, Nicolas Chavagnier.
How people are directly affected in a city like Montreal is heat waves, extreme weather events. Like just yesterday, we had a rain day and there was flooding in certain spaces of the city, which is absolutely ridiculous because it was not that big of a rain day. On an island like Montreal, often we get smog events in the summer, even in the winter. And this is due to congestion from vehicles. Transport creates about 43% of all greenhouse gas emissions. And these are all things that, you know, are affected by climate change. And for us, these are all things that are priorities because the Île de Montréal should be livable for everyone, no matter what their means are.
The parties have differing platforms and varying levels of focus on climate issues. Projet Montréal wants to see the construction of new green spaces and, quote, sponge parks in the city, which can help soak up floodwater. Both Projet and Transition have an emphasis on active transportation in their platforms, with promises to continue bike lane expansion. En somme, Montréal wants to see continued efforts to electrify Montreal's bus fleet, but does not have other specific environmental promises. Climate Justice Montreal has raised concerns over En somme's promise to incorporate artificial intelligence into city management. En somme wants to see the building permit process sped up using AI.
From a climate perspective, AI is terrible because its expansion is untethered at this point. Data centers are going up all over, including in Quebec, and are stealing water from communities because they need a lot of water to cool the systems, but also causing a lot of atmospheric pollution and noise pollution from their running.
En somme candidate Alexandre Teodorescu said in an interview with CJLO earlier this month he believes AI will encourage more efficiency and could help increase housing stock, a priority for En somme. In the end, Climate Justice Montreal would not endorse any specific party or candidate, but had this to say to voters concerned about environmental issues.
And the reality is, whether it's En somme or Projet, if local borough mayors are able to listen and fight for the local folks, then that would be in the best interest of the local population. Obviously, Projet Montréal and Transition Montréal have the better platforms in terms of social justice, climate, and, you know, a right to the city.
For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Station, if I'm gonna let you go, stay kind of low. everyone, and welcome back to On the Right Track. This is DJ Zona, and I've got a special episode for you today. I made a friend over the weekend. I was working at Rocky Horror, and the girl I was working with, her name is Melanie. She has come here to be a guest on the show. Say hi.
Hi.
And I found out that she's super awesome and makes electronic music and knows a lot of things about synthesizers. And I was like, that's so cool. You should come be a guest on my show. So here we are. And everything that you're going to be hearing tonight is original music. And yeah, and I can't wait to hear all about it. Melanie, do you want to tell us a little bit about just like you, so the genre names that you gave me were like noise and no wave. Do you want to give our audience a little bit of a description as to what that means?
So I like a little backstory for me. I got really into making electronic music because I found an A100 modular in the dump. And like to anybody who knows, like these Euro racks, they're very expensive and they're very difficult to handle. They're very bulky, and to find a complete A100 with a sequencer, filters, everything except an oscillator. It had everything like a spring reverb from like a vintage shit, and I just felt like I just had to do something with it. So because I didn't have an oscillator. And I'm sorry, I'm like getting super technical already, but...
No, that's totally okay. Get into it. Get into it. I want to know.
So like basically because I didn't have the thing that actually like makes the waves to make the sounds, I basically just used it as like a guitar filter. And so I plugged in my my shitty Fender that I bought for like $100 into it, and I just started working around with it, and I built my own effects and filters, and I used the reverbs, and I worked my way up. And I say like noise and no wave because I really like to focus on these like philosophies of like repetitive, abrasive music that came out in like the 80s and 90s. I'm a huge fan of David Wojnarowicz, if anybody knows that guy. And he did like a lot of tape sampling and tape recording, and he had a band called Three Teens Kill Four that I was like a super fan of when I started doing this electronic stuff. And so that ever since I just kind of like worked with tape sampling and cutting and splicing and sequencing, and then I just built up a repertoire of tracks that I like, and I've been producing and developing it ever since 2023.
That's so awesome. Okay, so let's get started with the first two songs. they're called Intro and Welcome.
yeah, I just want to give like a little backstory. These tracks are from a EP that I worked on early this year and late 2024 that I never really like finished with. And these were meant to be the intros and like the welcome message to that EP. And so I felt like it's kind of like appropriate to bring them here tonight. One of them actually has a sample of my mom singing. My mom's a gospel singer.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So you'll get to hear a bit of that.
Okay, well, let's get right into it.
Even though we know a great deal about hypnosis, especially the benefits, I continue to find many people still resistant to it. When I talk to them, their response is, "Oh no, that's for others. I'm not going to let someone else play around with my mind." They see hypnosis as turning over power to another person. By examining some of the myths surrounding hypnosis, it is possible to arrive at a better understanding of just what it is and what it is not. Myth number one. During hypnosis, the subject is under the control of the hypnotist. When we see a stage hypnotist at work in a nightclub or a movie, it's easy to believe that this was true. Although it seems as though the performer has some magical power, what he actually has is knowledge. The stage hypnotist has been taught to work through audience formalities with a high hypnotic capacity. He chooses those who will do what he commands as long as they don't feel threatened. In reality, most hypnosis is
2, tape 10. Intervals. A1.
I don't think there's really much for me to say today. Have I ever told you the story of Pete? He locked himself in a closet. Some nights I'd go up to his bedroom window and I would just scream, "Hey, Pete, why not get out?" I would never get an answer. You know, once you're out, I'd really want you here. Why not get out?
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Blue. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
I say, what are you listening to there, old chap? Man, I'm listening to the Live Wire show on CGLO 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 9 till 10 in the morning.
All right, so that actually ended up being the first three songs of this. Did you say it was an EP or an album?
So it was from an album, but I guess it was like technically an EP. I don't know. Like it was like under 20 minutes.
Does it have a name?
I called it Amalga.
Amalga.
Yeah.
Okay. Where does that name come from?
Comes from like amalgamation.
Okay.
Like, just like a mix of stuff.
Yeah.
Mixed together. Yeah.
Yeah. Very noise.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. The thing with Pete was that was actually made from like a theater rehearsal, I guess. Mm-hmm. I did for a play that my my college wanted to do, and I never ended up doing it, so I had all this audio that I just wanted to use. So I thought it was a fun way to do that.
That's so cool. You inspired this off of a play you were supposed to be doing?
Yeah, it was like meant to be like plays of like people on stage having like one-way conversations, like talking at people.
Right.
I think like the person who had it in mind wanted to be about like solipsism and yeah.
Okay. That is very interesting. And so, okay, wait. I have a few more questions about what exactly is like no wave to you? Like how would you define it? You can do technical aspects. You can also talk about if there's like any cultural things around it that got you into no wave.
Yeah, I think the next track that we're going to play, Communication, is a good example of it, where it's meant to be music partially of free association. So basically, doing things in a very like ad hoc way, following like what you think is like it feels right to do afterwards,
mm-hmm.
but also in a very expressive and abrasive way.
Right.
It's music that is not necessarily trying to be commercial, nor is it trying to be appealing necessarily. It's music that's meant to be itself in a way.
Right.
And yeah, it's like very DIY.
Yeah, very much like not trying to, I guess, fit into any established genre, right?
Yeah.
Like then that's kind of the point.
Yeah. For anybody who's in the know, actually it the name No Wave comes from a compilation album that Brian Eno produced called No New York, released in 79 I think, or 78, and it featured like a lot of like these like really avant-garde interesting like free jazz musicians and like dark ambient and goth and like punk musicians, and invited them over. He produced this album, he put it out. It didn't really do very well at the beginning, but it became like very genre defining.
Yeah, and those genres you just named, like they all played a really huge role in the like early development of electronic music and like electronic dance music as well, like especially like the kind of synthy goth stuff that was coming out in like the 80s. That was a really huge influence for like so many genres that we know today.
Yeah exactly. And like a lot of like my synth sounds come only from the A100, mostly because it's the only synth I really have access to. And
the fact that you just like found it and decided to fix it is so cool.
Yeah, like I mean, like I what was I supposed to do? It was like so sad to see it there, just like
couldn't let it go to waste.
No, absolutely. And so like, yeah, like, I was like super into, IDM and all this like electronica stuff.
For anyone who doesn't know, IDM stands for intelligent dance music.
Yeah. It's like another genre that was like named off of like a compilation that people did.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so some people like to get a bit pretentious about it, but that's okay because we can step away from that.
Yeah, and so like groups like Autechre or like Square Pusher, like these kind of guys focused so much on sampling and like developing stuff like music, classic IDM album, all done from like tape track sampling.
Okay, that's so interesting.
Yeah, and this kind of like stuff only really like came out of like these like no wave like punk scenes where people were like some of the first people to use field recordings and use like sequencing and sampling. And it's just so cool, and I love it.
That's so cool. Well, okay, let's not take up too much time yapping. Let's get to hear some of this music. So this next track is called Communication. And once again, you are listening on CJLO
1690 AM. In the following dialogue, Tian Ji is meeting He Nian's wife the first time.
We can consciously and voluntarily cloak this mental setting. The state of what exactly is self-hypnosis? The state itself, within full trance, can be described as a plateau heightened awareness with external vigilance subdued.
Thank you.
right. So that was communication, tongues of flame. Sorry, I'm looking right at it. And then vag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. So tell me a little bit about these tracks.
So Tongues of Flame is actually like a direct reference to the artist I mentioned, David Wojnarowicz. It basically comes from like an essay he wrote about the death of his partner, and also art mentor, and they had like a really complicated relationship, but a famous photographer, Peter Hujar, and David Wojnarowicz had a very intense relationship with each other.
Wink, wink.
Yes. And when Peter Hujar died of AIDS in the late 80s and early 90s, it broke Wojnarowicz's heart, obviously.
Of course.
He wrote this essay. And Tongues of Flame is about this relationship between like both like the Gospels and the New Testament. And also the Buddha. Because they're both the New Testament and the Buddha share this passage where these people in communal prayer are all speaking different languages, but they all understand each other, and it's as though they're speaking like in tongues.
Right.
It's as though their mouths are on fire. It's like it's a really like evocative scene about rage, but also like passion and like being able to like express that. And so Wojnarowicz was such a big inspiration for me, and so I followed his philosophy of tape sampling, of live recording. I recorded my poetry.
Okay, yeah.
And then I overlaid it with a guitar track that I recorded.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what about Vag? Vag is an 8-minute and 9-second long track. What inspired this?
It was like pure raw dogging synthesizer sounds with like a 8-step sequencer.
Yeah.
Just like modulating it and sitting down and just having fun, really.
Just messing around.
Yeah.
Just a grand old time.
Anybody in the know about famous Canadian artist Venetian Snares? He has an album called Traditional Synthesizer Music, which is a huge inspiration for me. It's all sounds done based off of Eurorack modular synthesizers.
I'm going to have to get myself into this. I need to be more in the know.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. And so I know that you, over the weekend, as we were working together at the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which if you guys didn't go, you missed out.
It was a crazy, crazy time.
It's a very funny weekend.
I told my mom I was working at Rocky Horror, and she was like, oh yeah, that's a wild scene. And I was like, oh.
Yep, yeah. It is in fact known for that. But I remember you telling me that you also experiment and know how to like live play all sorts of different genres, and that you've like done live mixing. Sorry, the not mixing. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so like I don't know like how to describe it, but like the thing about working with Eurorack specifically is that it's so time consuming. Like you have to like know your patches. Like I don't know how to describe it. It's like having like a logic. You have to know the logic flow.
Right.
And being able to do that live is like a whole other like level on top of like studio production, where at least you can just like cut it, take out like whatever little bit you recorded, and then you can like edit it and all of that. And so like I have a lot of fun doing live sets with the A100 just because it's long, you know? Like you get into this like headspace of like sitting down and doing it for an hour and just performing it for people, and they can go about and do whatever. I've done like art shows, vernissages. That was actually one that I did a lot of right out of COVID, and it was so much fun because people would be going around looking at art or talking poetry or just having fun, and you're in the background and you're making these like really interesting beeps and bloops.
Beeps and bloops. I love bloops. This show is all about bleeps and bloops.
Yeah, it's that.
It's very much that. Yeah, no, I remember it definitely, I don't know if it was the first time I saw a live set, but it was definitely the first time I saw a live set at like a big festival, was like at Escapade this past summer with, you know, Casablanca?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Casablanca at the house stage playing, like, and I'm not usually, like, a huge house person, especially at big festivals, you know what I mean? But, like, I went over to the house stage specifically for the Casablanca set, and they were doing, like, it was fully a live set. They, like, with all of the equipment on stage, the synths and everything, like, singing the lyrics, right? It was so cool. It's like, live sets are so fun to watch.
Yeah, it's, like, that kind of stuff. Or another, like, person who comes immediately to mind is, oh my god, why am I blanking? No.
It's okay. If you can't think of it right now, you will remember it when we come back. So the next song is called Nihil Novi.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Okay, yeah. Yes. And then the one after that is called Civilian Warfare. So yeah, once again, you are listening on CJLO 1690 AM, and you are on the right track.
We'll be right back. Prepare for the fright of your life, because this Halloween, Ballroom is taking you sinners to church.
Spooky! Godfather Silver Old Navy and Auntie Mag's Old Navy present the What the Halloween Kiki Ball. It'll be a spooktastic night of tricks, treats, and vogue, Miss Thing. Looking to satiate your ghoulish cravings? Auntie D's Kitchen will be serving up their famous patties, refreshments, and, for one night only, a special Halloween platter. And they're not the only ones who'll be serving it up, honey. With paranormal performance, fearsome fashion, and creepy creations never before seen, it'll be a night to die for. We've got Moonstar 007 and Mag's Old Navy on MC duty, and Father Cherry KFC on the decks. Join us on Friday, October 31st at 6 p.m. in the St. Edward Church basement at 425 Beaubien East for a Halloween you'll never forget. For more information on tickets and event details, follow the Montreal Kiki Ballroom Alliance on socials at MTL_KBA. CGLO is a proud partner / co-presenter of the What the Halloween Kiki Ball.
What the Halloween? Be spooky or get spooked.
Stay tuned to CJLO 1690, Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon, for Montreal's most diversified gospel show, Gospel Unlimited. Join Ray, Tanisha, and Curtis as they take you on a musical journey and share stimulating conversations along the way. Don't miss it. Saturday mornings, 10 to noon. Gospel Unlimited.
All right. So that was, oh my gosh. Wow. That was Novi, Nihil Novi. Yes,
yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
And Civilian Warfare.
Yeah.
Did you remember? You did remember the name of the artist we were talking about
Tash
right before
Sultana.
This. Tash Sultana. There we go.
Just icon at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. We knew it would come to you.
Yeah, exactly. But that kind of like live setup stuff, you know, like having these instruments that you then basically mix and match, you know, and you fit together is kind of exactly what I am going for. Like, I like that kind of spontaneous philosophy. I like the idea that one set or one show is not necessarily going to be exactly like another one. It's that it's all like kind of ephemeral.
Yeah, so just vibes all the way down.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why? Yeah, exactly. No, that's so awesome. I love when, like, I think it's such a flex when an artist can do like never does the same set twice, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's such a flex and this is really like a show of talent.
Yeah.
So yeah, this has been super awesome. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on my show.
Yeah.
I've been having a great time listening to your music.
Thank you for playing like some of this stuff. Like, this is like literally stuff I've had on my computer that has just been like waiting for a moment.
Collecting
to be
dust.
Yeah, pretty much. Like digital dust.
well thank goodness thank goodness we have this option.
Yeah,
right?
Thank you, Rocky Horror, for putting us together.
Thank you, Rocky Horror. Shout out Rocky Horror. But yeah, so anyways, final things to say before we play these last two songs called Digitest 2 and Bug, which I think are great names, is CJLO is currently having its annual funding drive. And if you haven't donated to the station yet, you should do that. The funding drive is going on until November 7th, if I'm not mistaken. If you follow me on Instagram, the link to donate is in my bio. And if you put down my name as the DJ, I have some very fun options for what that may give you. Either I will play a song of your choice on my show next week, or I could even dedicate an entire episode to you, depending on how much money you donate.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you guys should go do that.
I'm totally doing that. Support local radio.
Support local radio. But yeah, so without further ado, thank you guys so much for tuning in today. This is, again, CJLO 1690 AM, as if I haven't said that enough on this show. And you are on the right track.
That's not at all what it feels like.
Really?
No, completely different.
Oh, yeah, this
coke awesome. Makes you feel like this.
And so does PCP. PCP binds to the signal receptor, which used to be an opioid receptor. We used to think it was an opioid receptor. Now we don't think it's an opioid receptor. We don't know what it does, so it's defined by what it does. Okay, so the signal receptor